When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
All right, my talkers, hour two of Lori and Julia on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. We've got random thoughts, Hollywood speak, and of course, nothing but laughs with Lori and Julia.
This has been the strangest week gossip-wise. Oh, there's been so much in what is normally a fallow time. There's never any... I think I'm using the right word, fallow.
And look at who you're asking.
The two of us.
The farmer, I think, it means it's like this. It's not rich.
Rich soil.
It's gone barren.
The
dirt's gone barren. And normally this is,
is a dog day of a summer thing, usually, like you're saying.
Yeah, been like, there's been so much.
Yes.
It's kind of exciting.
It has been.
For those of us who... Am I right about calling it a fallow?
Yeah, it's a unsown period of in order to restore its fertility as part of the crop rotation to avoid surplus in production.
You know, it's like my odd way that I know how to spell French words and Italian words that I don't know how to pronounce, and I also know farming and agricultural terms and can use them correctly in a sentence.
I think that's it's
my superpower.
We need to have a superpower. I met a super fan today at Costco, Mary.
Mary, aww. Hi, Mary.
Mary, and she said, you guys have more talent than you think with your movie shooting, Project on a Duty movie. And I said, no, we don't. And she goes, okay, well, then I'll vote for you.
Okay, there we go.
Kind of agreed, but said, okay, and I'll vote for you guys, though,
whatever
that means.
Yeah.
But thank you, Mary. She was delightful. Yes. So anyway.
It's the way to keep... us in check, Julia. This is my newest theory.
What's that? Let's hear it.
Okay, the Project Down and Dirty. I mean,
what is the theory?
I do. Oh, thank you. I have a theory.
Having us be so uncomfortable we want to die?
Yes, because we're on top of the world most of the time.
You know? I love you. Okay. I love you. This is why you are so fabulous, Lori, because this is the way you think.
It is.
And you love you more than anyone I've ever met in my entire life. And Grant, this is what attracted me to Lori.
If you don't love yourself, how the hell is anyone else going to love you? You better love yourself.
That's right.
And you better love yourself through thick and thin. Hard times, good times, bad times, because they're all there and
they're
just making you a better person every day if you stop and, really acknowledge your part that you played in your unhappiness. So,
it's great.
But I do think it balances us, it keeps us from having an overinflated ego. We don't want to get like Madonna.
Oh, okay. Or you.
And it keeps us humbled. We're going to learn something new. We're going to be taken out of our comfort zone and all of that. So, it's just a way of...
It stretches us, which you didn't want to stretch yesterday, but today you're kind of embracing it.
Well, we have no choice. I mean, unless I can quit between now and September 27th, whatever that is.
I hope not, Lauren.
Yeah,
we have
a contract and I don't feel like paying... these people. I don't want to pay anybody back. That's right.
Imagine having to quit and pay back.
Oh,
that would just be brutal.
No, this was one of the conversations. I didn't have too many of these, but with a couple of people that, I'm closer with at my reunion last weekend, because we really just try to keep it to flashbacks.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
And
that's such a funny way to go to a reunion. I don't care about your life now. Let's just go back to 10th grade.
Well, or whatever grade you're having the flashback in, about whatever it might be. There's so many funny things. But anyway, so this friend of mine, she's like, well, when are you thinking about being done with work? And I said, when work feels like work.
Mm-hmm. It's a great answer.
That is
every Friday.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Every Friday at 5.
4 or 5, yeah.
Right, 5 right. o'clock on a Friday.
And then I looked at it and she said, oh, I guess I said, I kind of feel like Julie and I both felt like we quote unquote got to retire when we left corporate America to come to radio.
Get the job.
Because it's so rowdy. It's such a different thing. We were such 9 to 5 and serious jobs. And Julie had a way more serious job. But I was responsible for a lot of stuff. I just didn't like having a lot of employees and always managed to be in a position that I just had like an admin assistant. Yeah. That was basically it. But it was a relief to walk away from corporate America and come here. That felt like we were.
I remember when I did it.
Yeah.
I did sales for 2 years while I was getting into radio. Mm-hmm. And the day I could tell that sales manager, peace, was one of the best days of my life.
Yes. I told my sales manager the day we had breakfast with Jenny Morris.
Before we were even hired.
We weren't even hired.
Yeah.
I didn't tell Casey that part. I waited.
You told me and Bill and I laughed so hard.
Oh, I know it. I said, I can't even notice.
We laughed so hard.
But then the other thing, what would I do? Okay, my hobbies are traveling and reading and watching great TV shows. Okay,
these are my perfect hobbies. Yeah.
These are my hobbies. Mm-hmm. What am I going to do? Okay, I could volunteer. Yeah, all right. That's, you know, a couple hours or whatever. But blood.
But remember when you tried, Lori tried to be a big sister once.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, no.
I got asked to leave by my little sister. Grant. We weren't a good fit. I should have gone with the 18-year-old girl. Grant,
he literally was asked to not be your big sister anymore.
The mom called me.
If there's anybody that I can imagine that happening to, 100% you.
I went with a 12-year-old, and I should. I was more aligned with an 18-year-old. Yes. I should have really went with the 18-year-old.
Do you want to know all your sex flashbacks?
Yeah, yeah, right. Oh my god!
Oh, that is such a story.
You have no idea when she came in.
I mean, I went through training. I'm just going to give blood. That's going to be my volunteer thing.
But you came in and you were like, "Oh yeah, who gets broken up with by their little sister."
That's our movie. Role models too.
Yeah.
You're right, Grant. Role models. Okay. Oh. Hysterical. Oh, Lori, I'm sorry. That was so.
It was. We laughed about it for, And I remember telling the mom, I tell your daughter I understand. I'm not very good at this. I really know I'm not.
Oh, this is awesome.
Oh, it was so funny.
How funny would it be to interview that girl now?
Well, I don't think she even knew, you know, anything.
No, but the mom or something, man.
Yeah, and I hope she doesn't. I hope it didn't. I don't think it scarred her. We only had like 4 dates, so I don't think I could do too much damage. But we did do one fun thing I know she liked, and we saw Bendit Like Beckham at the Uptown Theater.
Which is such a great
And she was in awe of that movie theater.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So I literally did one thing that impressed her.
Good.
You know, so that's pretty good. 1 out of 4.
That's not bad. All right. Oh my gosh. Right, we're going to get to that other story that we're dying to get to later in the show, and we'll be right back with Random Thoughts.
And now, Julia's Random Thoughts.
He looks like that puppet. I don't know. He's had cheeky implants. It's just random. That's all it is. Okay. So I just want you to know that we got a note from our good friend Todd.
Oh.
And he said, glad to hear I'm not alone. I was also fired by my little brother. Really didn't care for the brat that curbed me. And my volunteer went through the damn training and everything. So, Toddie, thanks for listening. Won't say his last name, but that just makes me laugh.
Oh,
and
then I'm not the only one.
I know. And then I got another thing from my girlfriend who was just at the Field of Dreams baseball game last night.
Yes.
Grant.
So yes.
People are doing cool stuff. All right, guess what happened? 88 years ago today in 1934, the first federal prisoners arrived at the island prison, Alcatraz.
Oh, that's cool.
Have you ever taken that tour?
Oh, yes, I have. And that is one of the biggest tour attractions in San Francisco. So here's a little bit.
And wasn't it hard to believe that, like, that was where actually people were housed in a prison on that island?
Yeah. So here's just a little bit about it. I just had to look into it. So it was once America's premier maximum security prison, holding not necessarily the most disturbing of criminals, but the naughtiest of prisoners, the rule breakers, and the escape artists.
Mm-hmm.
So today, the infamous island is become an extremely popular tourist attraction in San Francisco. And if you're going, it's essential to book your tickets in advance because only a limited number of people go. And when you go, get the audio recording because you feel like you're there.
Yes.
Clint Eastwood did the film Escape from Alcatraz. Mm-hmm. So here's a couple facts. Al Capone was once incarcerated at Alcatraz. He was the most famous criminal. They also had Birdman of Alcatraz and Machine Gun Kelly, who I thought was just Machine Gun Kelly, the singer, but criminal.
The criminal.
Machine Gun Kelly.
There we go.
I didn't have time to look him up. Al Capone started a band while he was in prison. It was a privilege for good behavior, including access to a library. They had a band.
Spectacular views.
Great views. That's right. Great weather. During the 30s, inmates, though, were not allowed to talk in the early years. They couldn't talk outside of meal times and recreation periods, and they deemed it too harsh after a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little bit.
Prisoners were able to earn a living. They earned 5 to 12 cents an hour in the laundry room kitchen, burning rubbish.
Same as it is today.
Exactly. Each inmate had a cell of its own, 5 feet by 9 feet, a single cot, a sink, and a toilet. Alcatraz had the best food in the prison system. Apparently, they had coffee, tea, cake, cereal, fruit. They like had a really good, because they were on an island, they were worried about them needing extra nutrition, so they made sure they had all the food groups there.
Yeah.
All inmates had hot showers back in the day. 36 inmates attempted to escape the inescapable. Of these 36, the majority were shot, drowned at sea, or recaptured and shipped back. However,
did someone dive out from a shark bite?
I love you, Lori, because we had the woman on who remember did the shark thing around
the Faroe Islands.
The Faroe Islands are right there. Oh, yeah. God, Lori, look at your memory. And I'm telling you, the book we had on yesterday was another book we read. So I'm still going to figure that one out. Lori and I remember parts of each other's mind.
Right.
That's why you're the perfect couple.
No, we just fill in the blanks.
Yeah. Exactly.
So of the 5 escapees
that made it,
yes, they say they must have drowned, but the most famous escape was by the Anglin Brothers and Frank Lee Morris in 1962. It closed in 1963. Over a period of 6 months, they chipped away at their walls and created paper mache dummies of themselves from Lugo, from toilet paper, soap, and hair trimmings from the barbershop, leaving the decoys as they climbed through the vents and paddled through the onto a makeshift wrap. We don't know if they survived.
Of course they did.
Yes, they did.
They got away.
Yeah.
And then
put that much thought into it. You know, they were probably looking up the tides, the wind, the current. Yes.
The night that the most moon is out, so you can see when you're swimming.
Absolutely. And it isn't that far if you could point yourself towards the San Francisco Bridge, which is lit up.
You could see it. Yeah.
You could see it. So anyway, it was only open from 34 to 63. The dark years. Domino's opened in 2015 in Italy with a ton of locations, but they're closing them all because it didn't go over.
As they should. My goodness. What the hell is Domino's doing in Italy? Any little corner place has amazing pizza.
I know.
Jeez, that's sacrilegious. I can't even believe anyone was dumb enough to buy a franchise license. In Italy.
Yeah. In Italy.
The home of the pie.
I'm offended just hearing about this.
Okay, I love you.
I'm so glad it's ended.
Okay, you know, who do you think from a musician, a female, has the best legs?
What female has the best legs? Well, Cher's got great legs. Okay, but Madonna used to
country,
have great
younger
legs.
Country.
Oh, I was going to say Dua Lipa, but...
No, younger country.
Oh, younger country. Well, Carrie Underwood has
Carrie Underwood,
the legs.
Okay,
so
she's got the legs, and now there's an app available. Fit52.com has the Carrie Underwood workout if you want to get it. Sculpted legs. You can adapt it to any fitness
level. She had naturally good legs that she just was born with.
Yes.
And then she's trained for them, and she had a PR and talent manager or somebody tell her, your best asset, your legs, you look so great in this hair, because she does.
The legs work, and she uses them to her advantage in every, as you should if you're her.
Yeah.
The electronic bracelet was inspired by Spider-Man comic strip.
Did you go to like some prison and beauty place today to find all your randoms?
I think so. Prison and Beauty or Us. That's a new website.
Right.
PBS.
That'll be our film, Prison and Beauty.
So in 1977, the Spider-Man comic strip where Kingpin slaps a tracking device on Spider-Man, a judge saw that and an engineer came up with the product. So that's kind of...
Have you ever known anyone to wear an ankle bracelet?
I feel like we knew someone, and I said, how do you cross your legs once? Who did we know? We knew someone who wore an ankle bracelet.
I know a couple people.
You mean like a jail?
All these crazy alien stories can't be true, can they? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday, so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
I feel like it was, I think you knew someone.
Yeah, for sure.
I think it's the person you knew that I'm thinking
of. Yeah,
I
think so.
And we wondered the radius, how far you can get from your house. Yeah. What do you have to do?
It all depends. They have ones that can track alcohol. They have ones that can track location.
And then
they have
ones that just. What kind of trouble you're in.
Exactly. If you're real, like if you got into a real alcohol thing, they'll put one with an alcohol monitor on.
Yeah. Right. I mostly know about these monitors from, you know, television.
Yeah.
Law and Order. Again, the School of Law and Order.
It really serves you right.
Yeah. I'm sorry. We've learned so much by going to the School of Law and Order. Jeez.
Okay. Can you imagine if you were at Dollywood? On Monday?
Our friend Neil has been there.
I know he has.
He's the only person I know who's been there, and he said it was magical.
And then you look over, and there's two people driving around on a golf cart. Who would they be?
Who would they be? Dolly Parton?
No, Dolly Parton and Willie Nelson.
Oh, my gosh.
What a duo.
My heart would stop.
Monday at the park, people couldn't get their cameras up fast enough. Willie was there filming a movie, Dolly Parton's Mountain Magic Christmas, which will debut in December on NBC. It features Jimmy
Willie
Fallon.
Willie Nelson is making the movie?
He's in it.
Oh, he's in it.
It features Jimmy Fallon, Billy Ray Cyrus, and Miley Cyrus. So
it's like going to be maybe a Christmas variety show something. How fun.
How wild would that be if you look over and there they are?
I would just be in heaven.
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
I think so. Now, Grant, do you own Disney Plus?
Yes.
Okay. So starting in December.
I saw this nonsense.
Uh-huh.
What is it?
Disney Basic, which will include ads, is $7.99 a month.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Disney Premium, which has no ads, is going up to $10.99 a month.
Yeah. It's about, $2 or $3 raise?
Yeah, you know, I don't have Disney Plus.
I think my kid
we
does.
We had it for,
Mandalorian you watched.
Yeah, we watched a couple of things. But I'm like, no, we don't. We're not.
I'm a big Star Wars Marvel person.
Everything.
So it's to me, it's one of the ones
and
I have to have.
Gus.
Yeah.
From Better Call Saul and Breaking Bad.
And is in Mandalorian.
Mandalorian.
Yes.
I mean, that hasn't come out
yet,
though.
I've never watched a Mandalorian.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
It's good.
Hulu's raising their prices.
They are too. That damn Disney is just grabbing at everybody's wallet.
Ad-free versions are going from $13 a month to $15 a month. I mean, when you think it's not that much when you think about.
But when you have them all, that's the problem.
It really, but who knows where you're paying from all out of them out of it? You have to do an audit on your credit card. You got to do an audit on your phone. You got to do an audit on your bank account. Lori, fix to it. A freeway. Casey deals with it.
She does it. I don't do it.
Lori's looking at me like, I don't have any problems. I don't clean toilets. Casey does it.
No.
You helped plunge once.
That's right.
She held the plunger, Grant. That did happen.
That one time.
Again, this has just been such an unbelievable gossip week.
yes.
We have, it was actually released yesterday, but France's, the company that's producing the movie that Johnny Depp is filming in France right now released, all we got was just an image of Johnny Depp. And thank you, Grant, for posting it. And he is playing He's playing King Louis, what's the accent?
The 15th.
King Louis the 15th.
And I know my Roman numerals, that's about all I'm very, good for with math.
I'm very impressed. But it started shooting like the end of July, 11 weeks. Versailles, other chateaus, maybe Fontainebleau, other places in Paris. So,
Laura, you're missing him by a month.
I know, but 11 weeks starting July 26th. So, yes, I will be in France at the same time as Johnny Depp.
I feel
Depp.
Like you're going to be sitting down at the Café Mondou.
Yeah.
What's it called again?
Café de Magoo.
Magoo.
Okay. He's going to be at the Cafe de Magoo and is going to look over and say, boo!
Boo!
I know you, Johnny Depp.
This is Johnny Depp's first movie in 3 years. And he plays, so I just had to look up King Louis. And so here's the deal with King Louis. He had a reign of 59 years. It's the second longest in the history of France. But he is the guy... Historians generally criticize his reign. His corruption embarrassed the monarchy. His wars drained the treasury.
All right.
And produced, and then his grandson and successor inherited a kingdom in need of financial and political reform and eventually led to the French Revolution.
Oh, wow. All right. So he ran the country down.
Right. But this story, it's a love story about the relationship between King Louis the second, Louis the Well-Beloved is what he was known as, known as Le Bien-Aimé.
That was lovely. Who's the star, the female?
Well, it's a French woman. We don't know her, but it's about his favorite courtesan. Because even when I went to Louis' Wikipedia page, it has, this is how Royal D works. First mistress, second mistress. You know, it's known who the mistresses are of these kings.
Lead courtesan.
Yeah.
Second courtesan in wings.
Jean Duberry, played by Mewen, is who it is. But he also had a mistress, the Madame de Pompadour.
Oh, I love a pompadour.
She must have been the first person with the pompadour, because that's the
hairstyle.
That's right. So anyway, that's who he's playing. It's an intriguing picture. And of course, he's... very powdered, as was the style of the day for a man to be powdered within an inch of his life.
She was the official chief mistress.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. She lasted 6 years and remained influential till she died.
Yeah. So this is what it is. It's not going to be about any of the, you know, what a crappy king he was.
I love how people used to look. I mean, they're...
But you wouldn't want to live then. I mean, the diseases, the scabs, the sores. I couldn't take 17th century living for any amount of money.
But of all the things you think of, the lice, nits.
It was so dirty.
The fabrics.
Everything was filthy. Filthy. And people smelled.
I think the reason they
used powder and stuff like that was to hide the smell, to disguise the smell.
Well, they didn't have deodorant.
Right. I mean, no, I just...
That's why everyone... Oh, Lori.
Yeah. Now, the other strange and crazy thing that we did not see on our bingo card is why Kevin Federline is all of a sudden doing all this stuff. In the beginning of the week, we found out he was going to be doing this paid-for-TV interview that was going to air in England, in Great Britain this week. And then a day later, then the quote-unquote journalist said, we're not going to air all of it because it's too sensitive. When Kevin Federline was just like basically talking about how his kids don't want to see his ex-wife and they're uncomfortable with what she puts on Instagram and just all kinds of ridiculous thing. And then last night he posted a bunch of videos, not a bunch, but a few videos where his sons, he says, taped fights with their mom, and he put them out there.
Okay, so this is and really what bothers me.
I was not expecting this feud.
No, I don't know what is going on with Kevin Federline right now, except for there must be something in Jamie Spears' deposition that's scaring him, that he's wanting to throw the dirt so hard right now. But as a parent of teenage boys,
you get embarrassed at whatever you do. Wouldn't matter what you did.
But if so, your kids...
It wouldn't matter what you did. You will always embarrass your teenagers.
But he's taking it a step further and published videos that the kids took of their mom trying to be a mom.
Yes.
Like, you need to wear shoes into the store.
Yeah.
Get in the car if you don't. Or you need to give me your phone. I mean, if there was video footage of many of us being parents when it's tough, trying to get the phone away from your kids or trying to tell them to do the right thing and they don't like it. If my kids would have taped me, I can't even imagine my reaction. So for him to be throwing these videos out of her actually being a parent, and you can see how they would come home, I don't want to go over there, mom makes us do this and this and this, which are just basic 101 things. We thought he's been a good guy for so long, but there must be something that's scaring him, Lori.
Well,
that's coming.
Her conservatorship ended, and she's free and enjoying her
but
freedom.
He's alienating. He's doing parent alienation stuff because he's using...
Well, he's took it down.
Well, okay, but it was already out there.
I know. And Brittany's lawyer, Matthew Rosengart, he told, he released his statement, Britney Spears is a brilliantly talented, extremely hardworking icon who is rightfully beloved and respected by millions around the world. The same, unfortunately, cannot be said about Mr. Federline, who, for reasons that are inexplicable, decided to give a gratuitous interview that has hurt the mother of his children. Then, putting aside this ITV interview, his ill-advised decision to post an old video of his 11 and 12-year-old kids was cruel bottom-of-the-barrel stuff. In addition to demeaning himself and violating societal norms, he's now created various legal issues for himself, including, but not limited to, implicating cyber harassment and cyberbullying statutes, among other things, because California is a two-party consent state. Mm-hmm. And that's where these were filmed. And Brittany did not know her boys were filming that. Mm-hmm. He said he's working with Instagram to ensure that Federline adheres to all their rules going forward. And we are exploring all appropriate relief against him. So whatever he got paid from this ITV interview, whoever is advising him, he needs to stop listening to that person. And maybe he's advising himself.
I wonder, but there has to be something that he is going so all in on this. Like, she will be exposed. She will be this. As a parent, he's just doing the most awful things. They co-parent these kids. The kids are having a problem with their mom right now. This happens.
Yeah.
This happens.
This happens, and it happens in divorced families quite a bit.
And Ann Tressler would put her foot down.
Yeah.
Because social media stuff is supposed to be off the table. You can't post anything on Facebook. You can't post anything anywhere.
Yeah.
That would demean the parent of your children.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's really,
which leads me to think he has not had her best interests at play and got the money and the kid. Yeah.
Yeah.
It leads me to think there's way more here.
According to Britney's law army and various other people, you know, social media accounts that have been, they have a huge number of followers. They've been in the part of the Free Britney thing.
Right.
It has always been, and that group of people maintained that Kevin Federline was more instrumental to keeping Britney in the conservatorship and the initial step to get her in the conservatorship. That he was, and that, you know, his silence was bought by...
And then in his thing, I cannot sit back and let my sons be treated with this way. And then he says something like, we decided as a family, which means he's having a conversation with his teenage boys
about their mom. Yeah, that's not cool.
Which, no matter... I mean, it's a heinous person that goes that low.
Yeah, it is.
It's a heinous...
We gave Cletus, we didn't realize. We
took back to Cletus. That's our name for him.
We took his silence as that he had Britney's
back.
That he was, that it was
supportive and had her back until she's free.
And now it doesn't look like that.
And the video, like you said, Julia, it didn't even show any kind of abuse. It just showed a mess, like how a mom or a dad would be. Yeah, put on your shoes. You're not going in that store barefoot.
Give me your phone. We don't use it at the dinner table. I mean, these are basic things in parenting, and it's called parenting.
No. And anyway, so Brittany, she responded to it, and she took it down and everything. But I think I'm so glad that she's got this attorney.
He is something.
He's something else.
I love it.
He's really good.
We're all for him.
Yeah, we are. So anyway, okay, listen, we come back. We're going to do a little Hollywood speak. This is such a rich, odd gossip week for the week of, you know, the second week of August. And yesterday, we had learned that Jerry Hall had filed with the LA court to have the divorce dismissed without prejudice. I guess that was Tuesday.
Rupert Murdoch. She decided that they were going to be together.
Well, last night, a spokesperson for Mr. Murdoch released this statement. Jerry Hall and Rupert Murdoch have finalized their divorce. They remain good friends and wish each other the best for the future.
So why would they even?
Because he made her a settlement offer she couldn't refuse.
Okay.
That's the Hollywood speak on that. Going a little bit deeper, because this is, after all, Rupert's fifth divorce.
Right. And he's
five.
He's
you guys.
Spent a lot of money on him.
Five divorces. Wow. He's official. Jerry Hall's only gone through her first because she was with Mick Jagger for 20 years, but they weren't officially married. And anyway, he has, my goodness, he has six children with three women. Mm-hmm. And Jerry Hall has four children with Mick Jagger.
Okay.
Jerry's kids and Rupert's kids didn't like each other.
Okay.
There's a lot of ages. You know, his oldest daughter is 64. His youngest daughter is 19.
Jeez.
But they were at functions together. And apparently none of Rupert's kids liked her.
Oh.
And that was.
Did they think she was a gold digger?
I don't know.
She seems so likable. Well, she's pretty. I don't know if that means you're likable, but
I don't know.
Weird.
I guess the
that
thing,
would be hard.
There was a Mr. Murdoch has an annual summer party at the Serpentine Gallery in London earlier this summer, and Jerry Hall wasn't there, and neither were any of her kids. And Jerry loved doing the social thing of his. Well, we don't believe that they remain good friends or was
he paid her a lot of money and she said yes.
Yes, because he did sell something big when they were married.
Yep. Okay.
And they got married like within a year of meeting.
Yep.
And so that was a plot twist we didn't see coming.
First of all, don't you think they would have had a prenup?
They did have a prenup.
But assets during the marriage. Got it.
Yes, because he sold
a big chunk of his business. Okay,
yes,
got it.
To Disney, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like so anyway, billionaire villain. I should have seen this coming, that it would have been that was just a thing to dismiss that.
Yes, got it.
And it was a joint statement from both of their lawyers.
All right.
The standard canned statement.
How silly that when you get married that late in life, your kids just can't. I mean, who cares? Mom and dad or mom and stepdad like each other. Why would we make it be a pain for them?
You know what? It's a tricky thing. Other people's children.
OPMs.
OPMs.
OPKs.
Yeah.
OPCs.
I mean, my mom had her husband, Steve, had four kids. And then when he died, they basically told my mom, we've never liked you. And they'd been together for like 36 years.
Isn't that just the grossest thing?
And we don't want to have anything to do with you.
That's like the grossest thing I've ever heard.
This is what happens.
Right.
Oh, it was heartbreaking. It was absolutely heartbreaking.
I remember when that was happening.
And I was close to them. They were like, you know, my bonus sibs. So it does happen. Some people hide it. Other people are upfront about it. I think when people are rich, they're a-holes about it, maybe, because they just don't. They are like Succession. The Murdoch family is Succession. If you watch that TV show, you can pick out which one is which. It's definitely.
And when you have Rupert big money, you just are a bigger dink.
Now, yes, exactly.
You're more entitled. Well, that's what I'm thinking.
You're right.
But I mean, like billion. Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm not talking.
No.
I'm talking
billions. Big time money. Big money.
Right. Okay, here's one. Amid Page Six's report, you know, and lots of reporting last week and this week that, you know, Victoria Beckham can't stand her new daughter-in-law and they don't talk and the daughter-in-law doesn't like her. Speaking of family dynamics, Brooklyn is on the cover of Variety.
I saw that. And Brooklyn is
Victoria and David's son, and the one who's married to Nicola.
Yeah.
And
I saw this.
It did a joint interview, and here's what she said. Because the reporter asked, is there a rift between you and Brooklyn's mom?
Okay.
And she's like, about the wedding dress. That's right. How they worded it.
Yep.
And she's, well, I was going to, and I really wanted to. And then a few months
down
the line.
Wear the wedding dress from Victoria Beckham. Yeah, I'm just filling in the blank.
Yeah. And then a few months down the line, the atelier couldn't do it. So I had to pick another dress. She didn't say you can't wear it. I didn't say I didn't want to wear it. That's where it started, and then they ran with that.
So she's saying just because she didn't wear Victoria's design, Victoria shunned her.
Well,
that's what Nicole is saying.
Yes, I know, but she's also throwing shade by saying when the atelier said they couldn't do it, making it sound like she really wanted to. It doesn't sound like she was ever committed to it, and that's just her BS reason. Victoria Beckham could have made her atelier make her daughter-in-law to be a dress.
Okay, so this is the dilemma. Listen to me. You're a millionaire. You're a billionaire's daughter, okay?
She wanted to wear
Valentino. She wanted to wear Valentino.
Yeah,
Victoria Beckham, the House of Victoria or whatever, is down here.
Right.
It is like going to McDonald's.
Right.
And okay. I don't mean to say this.
Yeah.
And how unfortunate that that's your future mother-in-law who's the designer who's just launched bridal wear and you don't want to wear it. I mean, she's in a catch-22.
Well, she could have worn it for one of the other dresses.
She could have.
She did for her engagement.
She did.
She wore a Victoria Beckham.
And they, this
Isn't
seems.
Isn't that enough, Victoria?
This seems
Does
like.
This seem like.
It seems
meddly,
petty.
It seems petty on Victoria Beckham's part.
It kind of does, because you can understand where she's like, I'm sorry, I'm going to wear Valentino. I've wanted to do this all my life. I can.
Yeah, I know it.
So you can kind of see.
Or Dior.
So would I.
Yes.
Come on.
Right. Okay.
And Victoria should have just said, honey, of course you do.
Yeah, she wore a yellow ruffled number for the engagement photo.
Of course you get to wear whatever you want. Of course you can afford to have Valentino flown here.
You know.
Is he alive? I can't even know. I don't know. Whatever, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then the part of the story that kind of got me is they're going on to Brooklyn. What is he going to do now that he's this married man of 23?
Right.
And so this is the part, you know, because he doesn't work. And Nicole has been very upfront that her dad will pay for whatever Brooklyn wants to do. He'll fund it.
That's what a dream come true.
100%. And he said, well, I used to be interested in photography and I've got a lot of cameras and stuff. But during the shutdown, I got really interested in cooking. I mean, not by anybody else. I'm self-trained, but he said kind of a putsy quote that I wish someone would have helped him with. I don't know if you know what it is. Kind of like,
it's all good.
I'm thinking about using my interesting skills, my newly learned chef skills.
Well,
to
this
start
is,
it, he just sounds kind of stupid.
No, here's the thing. This is the difference between new money and old money.
Yeah.
Okay. Just this is the difference.
You're right.
It's the difference between new money and old money. And
explain what it is.
Well, Nicola, her dad, you know, is like he's a self-made man. I don't know how old he is. I think he's maybe in his
almost 70.
Yeah,
70 something.
70,
so he's been around.
Been around, self-made. And I don't know if he inherited money, if he's from. But anyway, it feels like, you know, like Victoria and David Beckham.
They're newer money.
They're newer money, and they are meddling in their
daughter-in-law's life
and
where they shouldn't.
Because
they
she's used to, if her dad wants to fund it, and apparently they're like very excited. Maybe she's there not. She might not act anymore.
And David Beckham and Victoria Beckham, according to this, want him to make it on his own.
Yes.
And I'm thinking, well, if you can get a leg up on something, why not?
Yeah.
So I feel like it's sour grapes. I feel like they're kind of being like, you married a billionaire and we're trying to parent you still,
maybe,
but you married her.
Well, and maybe Victoria feels like she's lost her son to the woman, which she has.
What you do.
Yeah.
Which is what happens.
That is what happens. That's exactly right. What do you think about Timothée Chalamet's
cannibal? Like we really handled that well.
Well, thank you. I think so. I mean, we've gone toe to toe and we figured it out. New money, old money.
But I think the thing is Valentino Beckham.
Haute couture Valentino, yeah. So custom.
I'm sorry.
And she did have a beautiful dress.
She looked gorgeous.
Yeah.
And I get it.
Yeah.
I totally get it.
Dad's like, you have an unlimited budget. Yeah. Honey, you want to spend $1 million on your dress?
Or do you want to go through stressful fittings with a dress design you don't like? And you have to make so many changes to it to make it to be. Yeah. That would be stressful.
It really would be stressful. What do you make of Timothy Chalamet, who starred in Call Me By Your Name?
Yes.
With Armie Hammer yesterday, when the trailer for House of Hammer dropped, then Timothy Chalamet's cannibal movie also dropped on the same day. Bones and All, it's called, based on a book.